நஹ்மதுஹு வ நுஸல்லி அலா ரசூலில் கரீம் அம்மா பாத்.
The gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated, and the group, the Jamaat of the Noble Companions was present there, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated and said that tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, people will realize and learn and come to know. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah ta'ala has said that tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, people will realize and come to know respect, who are the respectful and honorable people, who are the people of respect and honor, that we say people who are respected and the people who have the dignity and honor. And this is a great news, great message that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving to the noble companions. And if we see in this dunya, this world that we're in, and we see that the biggest thing that everybody wants is that I want to be respected and known, and to attain this respect and honor, we see that person, he makes full effort and puts everything behind that objective. And sometimes he doesn't have a need for something, but he considers that if I have this, people will respect me. Look at him, they'll, to attain that thing or that item or asset, he spends his whole life so that people consider me respectful and have hold me in esteem. So how much does a person get respected through these things? Who respects another person? Yes, that's in front of us, how much respect is that. So we've got a big message here, maybe you get respect in the world, you get a title, etc. People are jealous of you. And when that title or that thing that you have in the world, when that goes or is removed from you, then all his respect, it drops, it's removed, it disappears. So in the dunya, everything we see around us is temporary, it's not permanent. What's the respect in this dunya? It's nothing. You're looking for honor and respect and title. There's nobody who's a big man in this world. This is just a dream. Who's big and who's small? Who's a big shot and who's small? But shaitan has given us such a big deception that today in the world, if we look around us in the world, this is the main topic of discussion. You're fighting for elections. You want to become a minister. And you're maybe studying for some dignity. In other words, everything we do is for the objective that I want to be respected. I want people to respect me. This is such it's a disease and illness that's hidden within the human being, for respect, to earn respect, that we do all actions whether they're jais or not jais, and even then we don't get what we want, whether they're permissible or not permissible. So in comparison to that, in opposition to that, with regards, if we get the respect of the akhirah, say subhanallah, Then imagine that respect. Nothing can compare to the respect of the akhirah. To have respect in the akhirah, imagine the respect in the hereafter and the disrespect in the hereafter. Both are severe. Fantastic. May Allah Ta'ala save us from the destruction and dishonor of the hereafter. May Allah give us the real respect and honor. Because really the respect for Allah, those people who get respect in the hereafter, The destruction there, the loss there, the bad situation there, nobody to help you or to give favors to you. Rather, you'll see the sins there. Everybody will see the sins. People will see the sins in your face. Yes? Allah says that I'm Azizul Hakim, that you considered yourself as a big man in the world. You thought you were honorable. Now Allah says, take the reply and take the enjoyment of your actions. That izzat that you thought you had in the world, look at it now in the hereafter. So we have both sides in front of us here in the world, and we have to pay attention to this. On one side is the desire of dunya. A person works hard to earn dunya, which is fuzul, waste of time. It is not permanent. It's not forever. You don't get respect through wealth or anything else in the dunya. The respect of the hereafter is there, that will be forever and will be permanent, ongoing, everlasting, the respect of the hereafter. And it will not end, it will not disappear. It is the real respect. So with regards to that, the Holy Prophet ﷺ says that Allah is saying, imagine a great clear message, that tomorrow the people will realize. What does it mean tomorrow? What does it mean by tomorrow in these words? That tomorrow it means in this hadith, that the day that's to come tomorrow, that very soon that time's about to come. Qiyamah is not far. It's not distant from us. Very soon it will arrive. That today in our homes, those people who are in our homes, our parents, our uncle, our mamu, our chacha, our relatives, they've become a dream. They've gone, haven't they? In the same way, we will also disappear one day from this earth. So Allah's Nabi said that tomorrow, very soon, as Allah Ta'ala says, that you will learn the whole dunya on the day of Hashar, resurrection. They will see, they will understand. The people, the who were the people who held respect and honor and dignity. Who are the honorable people? We'll realize on the day of Hashar. What a great title, eh? Great status. So Allah Ta'ala says the whole of the people on Hashar, such respect and honor and dignity they'll have that the whole dunya will be amazed and shocked at seeing them. And who are those people? So what is the Holy Prophet ﷺ trying to say? And the Sahaba Ikram are asking, because they were lovers of understanding and realizing. They were those who sat on the straw mats and they ate one date and they had one date to eat and nothing else to their name. They didn't even have clothes, but they were being given the encouragement that this dunya is nothing. Don't run after it. That whatever you get here will go after a few days and somebody else will capture it. Take hold of it. So the Sahaba Ikram were very surprised. They said that they wanted permanent respect. They said, Ya Rasulullah, who will be those people who Allah Ta'ala has given great honor and respect to, that tomorrow the whole of the mankind will look at them? So now the Prophet gave the answer with the amal, because this is the real answer, isn't it? These aren't words to listen to, these are words to act and implement. So don't we know you need respect tomorrow? Then listen to this and understand this is a guarantee that Rasulullah has given. This is Sahih Hadith, I'm telling you. Sahih Hadith. The guarantee for tomorrow, for that time. That today if we practice that deed, then alhamdulillah, what will we become? Understand, on the plane of resurrection, you'll realize how respectful the people will be who do this action. And there'll be amazing, fantastic way they'll be welcomed and introduced. If Allah is saying this, if Allah is defining that these are the best people, most respectful people, honorable, then the whole of the universe will bow in front of that person. The whole universe will bow in front of that person, hold him in esteem. So then Allah's Nabi said again, the Sahaba Ikram, they were listening, who are those people? They asked, meaning that what will be their special quality that Allah will give them so much respect and esteem? Will they be from outside, foreigners? Who will they be, those people? What will they have to their name? So then Allah's Nabi explained the amal, the action, the deed that they will say, Subhanallah. So this is an action to implement, to not just to listen to implement. So what was the amal? Nabi Sallallahu said that those people that in the world they used to practice this deed, for which Allah Ta'ala will give them that response on the day. What is the amal, the deed? That in the masjids, where? In the masjids, they used to gather and attend the gatherings of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. Subhanallah. Look at this. What a great guarantee for this action, that in the masjids, in the house of Allah, all other actions of the world, they left and they used to sit in the gathering, in the majlis of the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Not alone, in the majlis, in the form of a gathering, in an assembly, amongst others, together in the company of people. What a great solution. That on the whole of the plane of resurrection, how much respect they'll be given. The hadith tells us as well, that subhanAllah. How long, for example, how much time will you earn in this world if you're sick? Your death is there. How much will medicine save us? Really, what we should do is prepare for death. But you can't get away from death. So if we learn today that, for example, that there's a majlis in Darul Falah, oh, it's too far. Oh, if it's in our mosque local to us, then we'll sit there. Tell me. Those people who give sacrifice today, their ease, their comfort, their time, and the beloved things, the actions they like to do, just for this hadith, for the sake of this hadith, Allah Ta'ala will be so happy and pleased that we'll get respect from Allah. They won't have greed of anything, no other need. Just this, that we have heard this hadith. Oh, for example, no. Someone says, come on, let's go there. There's dhikr there. No, he says, no, forget it. I don't care about anything else. There's a majlis of dhikr in a masjid. And he hears that. I will definitely get there, he says. And that person whose heart, if Allah Ta'ala instills love, then he runs around like a madman, crazy, running after the gathering of dhikr. He wants to attend it. He has a passion inside him, jumping up, and as soon as it's announced that in this masjid there's a majlis, gathering of dhikr, I see the alhamdulillah, the whole jamaat arrives there. The whole jamaat arrives there. So what a great karam and mercy of Allah, I'll say, such a great, whilst I was praying salah, during that time I remember this hadith, I thought about myself, that Allah, you're giving the karam, such a great mercy and grace, that maybe it wasn't here, it could be in Masjid Zakariya or in Al-Falah or in another masjid. It would have to happen, isn't it, the gathering, because our night doesn't go to waste ever. Without dhikr, our night never passes. And someone may be sacrificed for the walis of Allah for this majlis. That such an habit a person gave the 50, 60 years, this is the amal and nothing else in life. Yes, and that's also in masjids. We are doing this amal. So Allah Ta'ala gives the guarantee. Don't worry whether somebody respects you here or not, gives you salam, or throw shoes at you, or get them out of it. How much money have you got? What car are you driving? What registration plate do you have? What house does he earn? Oh, forget it. He's got nothing to his name. Talk about him. Oh, he's got nothing. He's broken down. He's got nothing. What woman is this? Oh, for example, do you have this? Are you study? Are you educated? Do you have ta'aleem? Get back. People do this in the dunya. They don't want to know the deendar people. So, what ta'lim do you have? How have you become educated? What have you learnt in the world? What's a Sufi? What's this? What zikr? What are you talking about? People say, because, you know, in their brain is the fat of the dunya. The fat of the dunya. That's grown. So they don't understand. But listen to this. These, those who have yaqeen in the Quran and hadith, for them, this is a great action indeed. That, for example, it was announced today, that there should be no space left there. But those people whose visas are cut, those people, they run away from the majlis. Those people who have been invited already to the hereafter. Tell me, what a ajeeb, weird thing, that how much shaitan has overwhelmed us today. That we don't want the preparation for the hereafter, we want just pieces of this dunya. Wherever our heart feels, oh, run after, oh, the burden's off, that's it. We don't need nothing else. Allah's ni'mas, look, Allah's ni'mas and gifts and treasures that He's given to us. What a great ni'mat. That you don't have to travel anywhere. In your own masjid, the jamaat has come from outside. Whether they're sick or unwell, somebody's left their home or etc. For which purpose? So is this respect? Allah Ta'ala says, and Allah's is respect that you will earn. Imagine the respect that Allah will give you. Imagine if a king respects you in the dunya, if he sits next to you in the world, a king. Yeah, this is your chair, sit next to me. Ooh, imagine that feeling. He will tell people, how are you? Okay. He said, oh, the king. Oh, look, he sat next to the king. And the king was talking to him, sitting next to him. He must be a big shot. He must be someone who's important. Tell me. Yes? Is this something to care about? If Allah is stating, Allah, that such respect and honor, what will be the respect and honor? That these same people, Allah says, that Yaqut, made out of diamonds and pearls and rubies, the thrones they will sit on, not just like nothing. Allah says, it's not a small jama'ah, not a small group. They're not that I will hide them. Allah said that the thrones will be there with the platform on it, and they will sit on there. Either tell me I'm wrong, or it's not hadith, etc. That you will hear these hadith, you will have read these hadith, you will have listened to these from the respected scholars, that there will be thrones, there will be platforms, they will be decorated. And those people will be made to look handsome, even more handsome. And which people? Those people, they don't have a shop in the world, no business, and they're hungry and thirsty, and they don't even think about the dunya. And they're not big in status, nobody gives salam to them, but there in the hereafter? Ooh, ajeeb statement in this hadith. Ajeeb. They'll be sat down on high pedestals, on platforms, on thrones, and their faces will be shining, glowing like the moon on the 14th night. So beautiful they'll become. Imagine. And so when it won't be the face of the world, there'll be the beautiful husn. Allah will enlighten them, make them glow. Their beauty will be seen on the day of resurrection. And then people will say, where's he come from? Who are these people, man? They'll say to each other. They won't recognize that. Who are these people sat here glowing, shining? At that time, imagine what will happen. Subhanallah. Then the face is shining like the moon on the 49th. Then the response will come, Allah. They will say, Allah, who are these people? Are they prophets? Are they, who are these people? Are they awli Allah? They're walis of Allah. Who are these people? The anbiya, the prophets, we heard that they're great in the status. So as I said, that their introduction will be made. They will be asking, Allah, who are these people? That We didn't know these people, that we couldn't. We didn't know that, for example, a person is going here and there. Everyone's in a bad state on the day of resurrection, severe conditions, and this is the respect given to these people. Allah will say that these are those people who are said in the world. These are those people who sit in the masjids, who sat in the masjids and did my dhikr. Allah will respond. Their morning was celebrated with dhikr of Allah, and their evening was with dhikr of Allah. But there wasn't such that automatically they had a battery on their backs. No, they used to give sacrifice to attend the majalis. They used to give sacrifice. They used to come from far and wide. And that if they were old, then due to the activity, they will make them more youthful. Dhikr has a quality, makes a person even more youthful. They come hastily. They run, hasten. Where's the masjid? Where's the dhikr of Allah today? Where's the gathering today? Do dua. Allah Ta'ala give us this passion and desire instilling in us, because death is very close to the human being. Death is very close. And this is such an amal, the dhikr of Allah, that you don't need to work hard on this. Look at the reward and look at the effort compared to it. The masjid, warm, the heater's on, we're sat here with ease, the lights are on, and we've got cars, you've got cars, you've eaten food, and you have come to the gathering, let's give you rizq. And any, for example, you could have just gone and lay down without anything to your name, but Allah's karam, grace, and look at our lives before us. What a big hadith in which Allah's Nabi said that, oh Allah, that I seek refuge from those things, that I go back to my initial state. My initial state. Tell me, has the Khwaja Masoom rahmatullahi alayhi stated that he's a bani, the head of this silsila, Mujaddadi silsila. He said the most person in loss, most of all, and he'll be in loss from this silsila. The person will lose out. The shaitan has made him run away from this silsila. As the Khwaja Masoom Sahib rahmatullahi said, that this silsila, this order of the Tasawwuf Naqshbandi silsila, this is the highest and greatest silsila, greatest order. These are his words that I'm sharing with you. Yes, and he knew about all the salasil, all the orders and the chains. He says the greatest and best order, Naqshbandi silsila, for this reason, that two things of our deen, two factors of our deen, and these things, both of those two factors are from which this silsila starts. They're the condition of this order, of the Naqshbandi order. Two factors, two azim elements or conditions without which you can't travel. And this is whoever becomes a Naqshbandi, first he has to complete these two conditions when he's bayah to the sheikh, whether it's a man or a woman. That's why people run away who are weak. No, it's too hard for me. Oh, I need games, I need nafs and shaitan. He can't be steadfast on a silsila like this. He goes in the reverse gear and runs away. He steps back, U-turn. Oh, no, it's too hard. Oh, it's too strict, too severe, too demanding. But there are two conditions in this silsila, that they are the condition. What are those conditions? Sharia and sunnate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the two conditions. The Nabi al-Kareem Sazam's sunnah is lazim in this silsila. That's why, don't you see? The whoever is attached to the silsila, who enters with a good niyyah, immediately he starts to implement the sunnah. Because he has love for the sunnah. He has love for the sunnah. And this is the ruh, the life of the deen. Without this, everything is a failure. The first condition that it generates the love in it, that's why it's ula and afzal silsila. There's no other reason. There's no other reason. Allah Ta'ala says the Naqshbandi silsila, Naqshbandi order has a special quality. That's why stated, as the Khwaja Masoom said, that person's a loser. That he's entered into the silsila, then due to his desires, or it's too hard, I can't practice this, and then he takes a U-turn and runs away. Such a big loser, that the Wali of Allah is saying from his blessed tongue, his speech, that his respected father, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Futani, said, whoever enters into the silsila, guarantee that he will be forgiven. Guarantee. As Mujaddad al-Iftani rahmatullahi said. So these people, that they have ilham, divine inspiration. So don't look at dunya. That this silsila, then after going to this silsila, and after leaving the silsila, doing U-turn, you think he's progressing, promoting himself. That in the akhirah, you'll realize that he has a stamp on the back, the seal of loss, of a loser, of a failure. So how do we realize? That through these words of our pious predecessors, we know who is stuck to the silsila, who is successful, and who is a failure. But shaitan, he'll do his work. He'll do his work. So he stated, Ula afzal silsila, the greatest silsila. This is not silsila of the world that there's dunya in it. No, it starts from sharia and also with the sunnah of Rasulullah. The biggest thing, what is there, is that the thing that's opposition to this silsila is bidah. The Naqshbandi will never adopt the bidah practice. Innovation, because he has to practice the sunnah. So where will bidah come from? Innovation. That whether either there's light or darkness. So when he's grabbed hold of the sunnah practice, then the bidah has disappeared. Finished. Gone. Gone. There's no dalil. Everything, there's the dalil with the Naqshbandi student. He has the dalil for every practice of his. because he won't practice without the sunnah. He'll give dalil, proof. So he stated the highest, most greatest, blessed, says the next one, says, and also about this, says that that person, a failure, does a U-turn, unfortunate is that person, doesn't matter how weak he is, doesn't matter how weak he is, even if he's dragging his heels, but he's taken the finger of the silsila, then he is successful, that individual. He is successful. He is successful. And he stated, same persons in the Maktubat, Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Sahib Rahmatullah, he said that dil silsila, the third quality of the silsila, of the Sharia and Sunnah, is that if he doesn't understand or realize, but immediately he attains the qurb of Allah, the nearness of Allah. Immediately. He won't, don't complain, oh, we do dhikr, we're not getting nothing. No, no, no. That the ticking of the clock says that you are getting closer to Allah. Every dhikr gathering you're getting, dhikr you do, you're getting closer to Allah. The asbaq, the lessons of this silsila. You know the Shaykh gives the asbaq, the lessons, we get them, I don't know if we practice them, but work hard and take asbaq, lessons from the teacher, from the Shaykh, have ikhlas, sincerity, make effort. Why don't we do this? Do you know that one sabak after that, there's another lesson, how much that person's status goes up? How much his status goes up? That he goes more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes? It's not for no reason he said in the kitab that this sabak, the second lesson, the third lesson, what are these things? Yes? So if you don't get the sabak lesson, then you're in loss. You're losing out. Listen, how broken down you are, that immediately when you enter the silsila, you get the qurb, the nearness to Allah. If in comparison to the other orders, this silsila has the greater quality of nearness to Allah. So, brothers, that was the third quality. And the next quality, very fantastic thing, that Allah Ta'ala, what He likes the most, He does the action all the time. And what is that? Dhikrullah, dhikrullah, He does all the time. Yes, people's tongues are moving, somebody's hands with tasbih, but their hearts are moving. Their body, their ruh, their soul, all day long inside them, their sultani adhkar, it becomes alive inside them. So we'll realize this, learn this at that time. When your ruh is being extracted, then you'll understand what was Naqshbandi says, what a great ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala gave to. And how much we should have valued and appreciated it. MashaAllah. So this Jamaat is great. Very good. I appreciate. And millions of times over, millions of times over, I'm grateful. The very good Jamaat Allah Ta'ala has created. The people who do Dhikrullah. In the whole UK, not just in Bolton. In the whole UK, in the whole of England. It's not just you sitting here. Yes, there are four centers of dhikr that at this moment in time are mashallah swelling in the noor. The noor is swelling, is there. And how many women folk are sat right now and they're immersed and enjoying the dhikr of Allah. So this is a great karam and grace of Allah. So when you hear that there's dhikr taking place in the same place or majlis has been established, then run there, hasten there. Remember this hadith that tomorrow, very quickly, very soon, you will arrive to that station where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the most respect of all. And you'll be the dignified people. Okay, that's it. There was just one hadith I remembered. So I took some of your time. And I have to do some dhikr as well. So inshallah, may Allah ta'ala give us from these hadith that how a person learns and attains from the hadith. And one thing also see, that mujahida also, person has to do, make effort and strive that this amal, you get to this rank, to this stage. If you see in the previous generation, people did mujahidah 40 years, decades, 30 years, one amal, one practice. They left their food, their drink, they wandering around in isolation in wilderness just to attain Allah's nearness. But the Naqshbandi system, when it came, subhanallah, then the methodology changed. The jungle, wilderness, chilla, isolation, seclusion, all of that finished. Now what is it? Just one thing. Sunnat-e Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's Allah says that I will seal everything in this. So two things Allah Ta'ala has given to this. So what is that? Dhikrullah and Sunnat-e Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So easy, tell me. So easy. For example, you're going from home. Oh, come on, there's a majlis near you. Let's eat quickly. We can't leave the car. Take the car and quickly arrive there. So we don't have no guarantee of life, that as long as you have health, then take the benefit of the health. But the person who does dhikr, mashallah, he never gets old. Mashallah. He's youthful, young, vibrant, alhamdulillah. The person who does dhikr, he has increased passion to do dhikr. You can have the experience of that, experience that yourself. So we should do dhikr, shouldn't we, all of us? Yes, such a great action indeed. Such a great favor on us. Those walis of Allah, our pious predecessors who demonstrated the path for us, may Allah Ta'ala send His rahmah on their graves. They worked hard and they took hold of people and brought them to the deen. Do dhikr, remember Allah. So this is Allah's karam and grace and mercy that through a wasila means Allah Ta'ala revives a person. Allah Ta'ala makes the dead earth alive, but we should be those who value and appreciate. We should have qadr.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muslimin. Jafiyyina Muslimin. Da'wa Yasin. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabi al-Mi'is wa Aji Umrat al-Mu'minin. Allahumma salli ala Ibrahim wa Inna. Allahumma aghfir lana sunubana wa sulmana wa hazbana wa jaddana wa khatmana wa dhana kulla salim. Allahumma aghfir lana ma qaddamta wa akhartu wa sutta wa radu. Anta al-muqaddam wa anta al-muakhir wa la ilaha illa anta. Allahumma rabbana atina fi dunya husnatan wa fil akhirati husnatan wa qina azaban nar. Wa qina azaban al-qabr wa qina azaban al-hashr. Allahumma a'inna ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم انا نسلك من خير ما سالك من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله